So we're in the studio today with Will Geisler and Giuliano Minetti, two members of the acclaimed podcast Murder on a Helicopter, which can be downloaded on demand on iTunes. Will, Giuliano, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry I'm late. I wanted to look nice for the radio interview.
Oh, yeah, it's totally understandable.
It's great to be here, Terry.
So I actually, you know, I think it'd be a good idea to begin this interview by playing for the audience a sample of your work.
That'd be killer.
So we're going to play the first episode here, entitled A Dark and Stormy Flight. Do you guys have anything to preface this?
Well, I think this is the quote-unquote pilot of Murder on a Helicopter, and I think as such,
little did any.
It really... brings home the artistic qualities and helps us start off the series in the way that we wanted.
So this is something that was years in the making and we didn't ever think would come into being.
Yeah,
so it's great to see this. Finally get the funding and, you know,
we'll talk
really something.
A little more about what we heard afterward, I think. I just think the work speaks for itself.
Sure thing. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Murder on a Helicopter, the premiere episode, A Dark and Stormy Flight. Wow, gentlemen, that was just fantastic.
Well, thank you. That's the first episode, and as you may have noticed, our first season, our first two episodes... the voices of Colonel Mustard and Dwayne were not by the same actors they are later. Unfortunately, our first two actors, Brian Manley and Grant Bradley, were involved in an unfortunate pruning accident off the coast of Normandy.
Thank God for me, though, because I got that work I needed.
Yeah, so we
every rose has its thorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got the thorns and I got the... I'm smelling the petals.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a sour note to start off on. But I think the characterization in the first one really sets up a lot of plot threads that we're going to be uncovering throughout the later seasons. Like you get a first taste of that rivalry between Colonel Mustard. Yeah, Colonel Mustard.
Little sample.
And Dwayne and
Dwayne
Charlotte.
And Charlotte. Yeah, it's.
You know, that's interesting. That sort of leads into the first point I'd like to make, is that the dilemma in this episode, you know, a lot of times, and I know a professor of mine was showing me a clip of J.J. Abrams speaking, J.J. Abrams, the creator of Lost, and he says that...
I think he's a listener, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
we've gotten fan mail
JJ,
from his company.
If you're
out there.
If you're out there today, go ahead and give the station a call. We'll add you to the conversation.
We'll give you some headbands, too, from Whippet.
Yeah.
But on... You know, and one of the things that he says is that, you know, amidst this backdrop of explosions and murder and mystery, you know, really at the core of it is a story about people. And that's what I think is so strong about Murder on a Helicopter, is that it's a relationship drama, a gripping relationship drama about this triangle between Colonel Mustard, Dwayne, and Charlotte. And Colonel Mustard kind of feels this anguish about having his woman stolen away from him.
Anguish.
And, you know, really, there's this sense of romantic hopelessness, which, I mean, I think the listeners could possibly interpret as evil or maybe even obsessive. But what I think is that this is really a pure tragedy in the classic Greek sense.
Well, you know...
It's an American show, though, James. Let's get that straight off the bat. It's it's homegrown.
Yeah, this
it's
is...
There's nothing Greek about it.
And I think the... as you were saying about J.J. Abrams, compared to many of J.J.'s shows, which are about characterization and stuff like that, ours is about that too, but I think it mostly centers on murder.
And both of the characters are lost in both shows.
Yes. So there's a characterization, but you don't get quite that sense of murder in Lost, Fringe, Alias, Star Trek.
So you're really bringing Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, no, nothing like that.
So you're really bringing us here, kind of the best of both worlds, so to speak, of drama and action. You know, one of the...
And murder.
And murder, obviously.
Key word, James. Yeah. Murder. Not just action, murder.
There's a reason we put it in the title, and that's a little wink to fans. But
So, I guess dating or going back to that previous conversation there, would either of you say that you relate, though, on a personal level, either to murder, as you say, or that relationship drama?
James, have you ever been on a helicopter?
No, answer me honestly.
Have you ever been on a helicopter?
You know, I have never been.
Have you ever been murdered?
No.
Just answer the question. Come on.
I think once when I was a child.
My point is, you can't talk about something you haven't experienced. And Will and I, Will's been on a helicopter.
I have. Yes. It's something of an experience. You don't quite get the feeling of the rotor blade spinning overhead just from the sound. You really have to be there in the helicopter and see the pilots and see the Galapagos.
We're talking about the pilot of the copter, not the pilot show.
Right, yes, the pilot of the helicopter,
right.
That's correct.
Because you can't see a radio show.
That's true. Thank you.
One of the other things that the show does so well, and you know, you mentioned that you can't see it, but you can hear it only. That's the point. I mean, even though it's just a radio show, you really are put in that setting, in that mood. You know, stylistically, what are some of the points that... that you think were really intentional in creating in order to give the audience that sense of...
You want to field the skis?
Right.
Yeah, I'll take that one. I'll catch that pass. You know, I think stylistically, you don't get a lot of... let's just say you get a lot of, like, imagery on your average television program, and we're trying to go in sort of a different direction, so we've eliminated that whole factor altogether. So it's just it's a singularly oral presentation, and I think
nice catch, buddy.
And I think that's what really makes it interesting, and the fact that we use voices and sounds
as opposed to visuals.
Right,
that's something that most TV shows do that we don't. And we were told up front, like, "What are you crazy? Like, no one's gonna watch a radio show." But they do.
Yeah, we have at least 5 downloads so far, and
easy.
It's either growing or waxing or waning, but it doesn't matter.
There's other people sometimes in the room listening to, like, people who have downloaded.
Exactly.
So
there's
who
no
who knows for, how many
like Google Analytics can't track that.
Yeah,
my
like
friend.
Oh, hey Tom, listen to this. It's kind of and then Tom like gets out of the shower and listens.
Yeah.
Boom, that's 2 listeners.
Yeah, or it's like in a room with several
one
people,
download,
like
2 listeners.
You know, one speaker said several
right.
ears. And
maybe
I think
it's a big speaker in
hundreds.
Know,
I don't
right?
think
I don't
you know, the Nielsen ratings really reflect that, and I think that's part of the reason that our ratings have been so low.
You never know how many people you touch. You just got to put a big, good quality product out there.
Touching
you know.
People, that's what this is.
I can say that as a fellow member of the broadcasting community, I definitely understand that logic. I mean, I definitely feel that there are people out there.
You feel you
touch
a lot of people, James?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we should all. Try and touch as many people as possible. So, you know, and I think that...
This, amen to that.
You know, if it ends with murder, so be it.
So before we move on with this interview, it's fascinating, by the way, gentlemen, I want to play the second installment of Murder on a Helicopter. This episode is called A Date with Murder. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. James, I'm not on that one. Can we shut it off?
Oh, I'm sorry, Nico.
Yeah. I mean, I came down here to, you know, so people could hear me.
Right. Mm. Well, I guess that's what Will was mentioning in the beginning, that you were not, in fact, one of the original cast members. So I apologize for that mistake. Oh, I wanted to give the audience sort of a chronological plot understanding of the show.
Well, let's just get to the episode.
But, well, hold on. I'd like to move on because there was... Even though you were not in that episode, Nico, I know you understand sort of the essence of the broadcast and what's going on in Murder on a Helicopter from episode 1. We got in that episode, there's an allusion to the baby Shiloh of renowned philanthropist Angelina Jolie. Will, maybe you could answer this since you're the technical creator. Do you think that we in the media, and you, of course, being a vital member of the media, have an obligation as global citizens to bring to light these issues in our work?
You know, I think that we do. In our society, there's not enough knowledge. Like, people don't know how much Angelina Jolie's been doing to save the world. And I think that, you know, just those little mentions.
Great rack on her.
I believe she's referred to as Brangelina's baby in the episode. But, you know, it's a clear reference. And it's also a way of telling our audience, no, you've heard of Shiloh, the baby. Now this is Shiloh, the character. And a way of transferring that. And by the way, if any of our listeners want to learn more about Brangelina's baby or Shiloh or any of the other characters on Murder on a Helicopter, we've set up a website called Murder on a Helicopterpedia. That's it's available at http://helicopterpedia.umbrellafish.com. You can go there and you can
Google it.
It's similar to Wikipedia, but all the information is about Murder on a Helicopter. So
that's fantastic. In your show, one of the other things that I found interesting in both of the episodes we've played so far is that Colonel Mustard continually refers back to his time in the Army, which is reasonable considering that he is in fact a colonel, Colonel Mustard. But I'm wondering if you have any deeper connections to the military being explored with Murder on a Helicopter. You know, is there anything you're trying to get at to say about combat, about human lives, about sacrifice?
Well, human lives are lost when murder occurs. And that's something I think the show illustrates, and illustrates well.
I think that, yes, that's a very potent motif.
I mean, there's giggles and laughs about it from time to time, but... You know, when I pull out my saber and punch someone to death, they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
When my character does that.
Presuming that were to occur in the storyline.
It did. Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that some fans may have not seen all the episodes.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it does
occur. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
I mean, this is...
I gave something away.
And for the listeners who... we're trying to give you sort of a chronological sense of what happens on Murder on a Helicopter, but at the same time, do recognize that this is sort of a retrospective honoring of the show, and at the same time, a promotion for where the show may be going in the future, correct? Murder on a Helicopter is anything but dead. There was a murder, but there are more to come. Not everyone is dead.
That's true. And some, if you've listened all the way through to the end of our latest season, you'll note that some of the old favorites may be returning to the show.
Maybe not dead.
I won't say any more than that, but, you know, continue watching listening, if you would like to know what's happened. There's some familiar voices.
So, Nico, to honor you, I know you have... business to handle, things
to
do, people
to
see.
I got a flight to catch in like 5 minutes here.
But what I do want to do is sort of recognition of your work and your contributions to Murder on a Helicopter.
I'm going to
play episode 9 here. This is episode 9, Erratica.
I think I've heard that one.
Well, I believe that you're in it. So here you are, listeners.
Yes.
An episode featuring Nico Minetti in Murder on a Helicopter.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back. Well, Nico, that was just fascinating. You know, you really do have a great voice for
thank you.
For murder. And so I understand that you do have to take off here, but I would like to thank you so much for being on the program.
Hey, it was a pleasure, James. It was a pleasure. All you listeners out there, keep your ears wide open. There's more coming at you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ah, welcome back to Morning Breath on ChapmanRadio.com. That was Interpol taking us on a cruise. We're in studio right now, in case you're just joining us. We're with Will Geisler, brainchild of the podcast Murder on a Helicopter, which can be downloaded on demand on iTunes. Will, thanks again for being on the program today.
Again, it's great to be here, Terry.
So we were discussing earlier some of the allusions you make to American culture in your podcast. Do you, Will, I'm curious to know if you consider yourself a patriot.
Well, I think I consider myself primarily like a modern-day Barack Obama. And, I feel like it's my duty to, provoke a thought amongst American people. And part of that is through Murder on a Helicopter and other forms of art like that. And, you know, I think when you have a show with such a broad audience and a, you know, just a really a topic that people can identify with, it's so much easier to bring, you know, knowledge and open people's minds to murder.
That is, I would say that bringing to light murder is a duty that most Americans would agree is reasonable. One of the reasons I was mentioning earlier that I think the show is so successful is the relevancy of the real-life situations, particularly the relationship triangle between Dwayne, Scarlett, and Colonel Mustard. But also, I think it's pertinent the fear that everyone experiences at some point of being murdered, and the fear of going down in a helicopter. Like we had mentioned before, I've never been in a helicopter or been murdered, but I certainly fear those things. I think it's a similar concept to the emotions that Cloverfield elicited from people about being attacked by an unidentifiable monster. It was really something that struck home. How do you think you'd handle the situations of being threatened with murder on a helicopter were this to be a real-life situation for you?
Well, I think that you're right. This is it's a common fear. And were I to be on Gwendolyn at the time that she crash-landed on the atoll, I think, you know, I probably would have had, you know, a mixture of, you know, shame and, I guess, alarm, mostly. I think I would be mostly alarmed about the whole thing. And, you know, would I resort to name-calling or murder? I think it's impossible to say. And I think that the show explores characters who either previously murdered a lot of people or didn't previously murder a lot of people, put in a situation where they could murder people. And I think that's really, you know, a fascinating juxtaposition.
The show definitely does ask you personally, would you murder?
Yes. Well, not so much as you personally, but, you know, the characters, but...
Right.
Yeah, but through that, I think we reach a lot of people.
Will, I got to admit, I think you're a very talented man, and I appreciate you again for being here on the program.
Thank you.
I want to ask you some questions I do with all my guests that display a talent of this caliber. First one, if you could go back in time to do anything or meet anyone, when would you go, and what would you do?
You know, I think, I think about this a lot, and I think possibly... You know, the thing I would do is I would go back in time to the early 1900s and do murder on a helicopter then, because I think, you know, that was a time of uncertainty, and I think if I had created murder on a helicopter back in the 1920s, I could have prevented the Russian Revolution.
Wow, that is ambitious of you.
Yeah, well, I don't think art is to be trifled with.
I would definitely agree. What? Obviously, murder on a helicopter means so much to you on so many different levels, but if possible, could you imagine what you would be doing with your life if you were not creating podcasts?
Oh, well, you know, I think there's a lot of things to explore in life, and if I wasn't creating podcasts, you know, I might just... I might actually be training to be a Galapagos helicopter pilot. That's one of the things I've been meaning to do, and I think it sort of reflects in the show in the character of Dwayne, because he's a Galapagos helicopter pilot, and that's definitely the kind of thing that I would find myself interested in doing.
Again, quite ambitious of you, Will. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Chunky Monkey.
You know what mine is?
I do not.
No. Cookies and cream.
Oh.
I like to put a scoop of cookies and cream in between two chocolate chip cookies, and then it's just a cookie ice cream sandwich.
I've never thought about that, Terry.
Well, I've never thought about a murder on a helicopter, so touche.
Yeah, I guess we've both thought of things.
Everyone has their ideas, right?
Yeah.
Has your mother been an important figure in your upbringing, Will? I'm curious to know.
Yes.
Well, that's nice. What about your father?
Yes.
You know, to be honest, I'm sensing some tension here. I'm certainly don't want to pry, but it would be a worthy side note that many great artists have had tense relationships with their parents, and that has really spawned some creativity that needs to be pushed out through some outlet. And I would sense that Murder on a Helicopter might psychologically have to do with those maternal and paternal issues of your childhood.
Well, I didn't want to go into this on air, but my father was a candlestick salesman, and as such, he wasn't home as much as he could have been. He was out selling candlesticks, and that sort of really affected the way that I perceive the world and candles. And that's sort of, you know, again, I mean, everything is an influence on the show, but that's really affected me in the way that I produce light.
Fascinating. So the last question, the real doozy of this interview, how do you define happiness, Will?
Well, I think I define it as what makes me continue to go on. And I think that what makes me continue to go on is the continued need to tell people stories about murder. And, you know, it's as simple as that, and it's a simple thing, but I love it. If I didn't have Murder on a Helicopter, you know, I don't know what I would do.
Well, that's about the time for our interview today. Will, I would like to thank you again so much for being on the program. Listeners, you can hear the podcast Murder on a Helicopter on demand if you go to iTunes and type in Murder on a Helicopter in the podcast section.
Yeah, interesting side note. We're actually the number one podcast when you search for Murder on a Helicopter.
That is an honor.
Yes. Yes.
So, Will, I want to thank you so much again for being on the show.
It was my pleasure.
Murder on a Helicopter is fantastic. It's time to move on, but once again, I want to thank you so much, Will.
Yes, anytime.